Let's begin. Okay, so last shiur, we tried to give a description of reality, that everything in creation is rooted in a higher reality. And that in that higher reality, that other dimension, that upper world, so that's where the root of everything in this world is. That's the source of everything. And I want to just bring an additional mashal, not from the fish world this time, but from a different type of mashal. Imagine, I've been trying to figure out a good way to explain this in the best way. Imagine there's a very, very bright light. Very, very powerful light. Too powerful even to look at it. It's too bright. But it's all the way on the other side of the room. And between us, well, let's say it's in that corner, between us and that light, there are many panes of glass, cloudy, shady glass. So the light shines from there, and it shines right over here, and we're able to see the light. But the light has been dulled through all of the different layers of glass, shady glass that it has gone through. So now, in that image, the light that you see here is the same light that's there. It's just that it's diluted, it's blurrier, but it's also tolerable because it's been dulled through the different levels that it's gone through. So that is an image, that's a mashal for our world. Meaning everything that exists in our world is a blurry, dulled version of what that is in a higher reality. Except that higher reality is too powerful and too overpowering. And therefore it needs to go through spheres. It needs to go through emanations that it comes down into our world and it's able to finally be mitgale in a very migusham, in a very physical sense. But because of that, you lose the brilliance of what it really is. And that's supposed to be a mashal for our existence. And it's true, we said last week or 2 weeks ago, it's true on all levels. Meaning the hanos that we experience in this world are diluted hana. The hana in this world is just a crude, limited version of what that hana would be at its greatest sense and its greatest source. And I think it's important to realize that light there and the light here is not two different lights. It's not like the light here, it's like representative or a representation of a light over there. It's actually the same light. It's just that the light, right, like when the light shines out of a room but there's a darkened door, so you just see less light coming out. It's a dulled light, but it's the same light. It's just that here we're experiencing it in a dulled sense. But in each level, if you would go behind each subsequent pane of glass, so you'd be experiencing the same light, just at a more intense experience. And I want to deepen the perspective of this issue, and I want to also introduce you to some terms, because I've been speaking right now completely in Lashon B'nei Adam, and I want to, regular language that we use, and I want to teach you some other terms, not necessarily because you need these terms, but I want you to understand that a lot of terms that we see in different types of literature, whether it's Kabbalistic literature, Hasidic literature, philosophic literature, a lot of them are expressing the same truths, just in different language. And I think in general, when you're trying to image this, because a lot of this, I imagine that there's some people sitting in the room and are wondering like what I was smoking around half an hour ago, because you don't really understand, like sometimes you don't exactly connect, and you say like, what is he talking about? And then other times, you connect. By the way, everyone who hears like smiling and shaking their head too much, that's like a bad sign to a certain degree, but I'm going to let it pass for right now. I'm not going to note who was like, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. So I'm going to let that go for now. But when you connect, I know, like, if you get what I'm saying, so you understand exactly what I'm saying. If you don't get what I'm saying, so keep listening, and hopefully as we discuss it from different angles, it'll click. And it's one of those types of things that it just sort of has to click. So I want you to think about it in terms of a person. Because, first of all, the Arizal writes, when we'll hopefully go to Tzfat in a few weeks, 2 months or so, we'll go to Tzfat together, and there on one of the walls of Tzfat, so there's a very nice painting, right at the at a certain kikar there, and it says Ha'adam olam katan va'olam adam gadol. And it's the Arizal taught that Ha'adam olam katan, that man is a microcosm of all of creation. Meaning whatever Hashem did in the cosmic sense when He created the world, He did the same thing to man. And that was a big tova to us, because by understanding ourselves, we understand the broader world. And by understanding the broader world, we understand ourselves. Because there's a parallel between ourselves and the larger cosmic world that's out there. So I want you to think about it in terms of a person, because I think it will help you understand understand it on a more personal level. But from there, you'll be able to extrapolate and hopefully understand it on the cosmic sense as well. So let's talk about a person. I brought a quote for you, just first quote, just this idea that I just told you. Da ki Adam hanivne bedimyon binyan kol olamos. Man is created as a in the same sense as all of the worlds are created. Va nefesh shebo amiskayem esoso hazman agozer olov klulo mishuchlelos min ha'avayos elyonos. And the soul that's in a person and that gives him his essence parallels all of the creation from all the different worlds. Uba'oda nefesh bo'ineu dugmas olam agadol v'zen nikr ha'adam olam katan. And when man has his soul in him, so he is a microcosm of how all of the world is running. And that's what it means, that ha'adam olam katan. So let's try to understand this idea that we've been talking about on a different level. Okay. The existence of a being, let me just make a few points that will relate to the things we're talking about. The existence of a being, and again, like think about yourself, but again, and then use that as a microcosm for, or as a, to learn from there about, to extrapolate from there to the rest of the world. You. So you are a dulled manifestation of a much greater you, which we like to call the neshama, in a deeper and a broader existence. Now, the existence of you here, though, is because of the existence of you in that deeper reality. Because you here are just a giloy of that deeper you. So if we would pull the plug on that light over there, obviously the light would go out here in room as well. Because what we're seeing, the light here and the light there are the same light. And actually its source is there. So that's the first point. The first point is that the root of everything that's here is also there. And obviously there, the being in its is a much fuller and a much purer and a much greater and grander existence. And in addition, part of the you that's there, the true you, cannot be expressed here because, like we said with the muscle of the light, the power would just be too overpowering. It can't be expressed physically because it's just too powerful, or it's too spiritual. It can't be expressed in a physical sense. Now let's talk about some terms that will hopefully make that clear, those points. So the first is from the Sefer Eitz Chaim. Hine elu ha'oros mischalkim lebeiz b'chinos. Light, and he uses light, that's why I use that mashal, as a mashal for what we're talking about. And there are two types, there's two forms of light. There's the Aleph Vav Peh, which I wrote in for you, which is the Or Pnimi, and the Aleph Vav Mem, which is the Or Makif. V'ha'inyin hu, ki hinei ha'or mechayeh v'hame'ira b'soch ha'yud sviros ha'nikra kelim, hinei yesh bo b'china ha'mislabesh es toch ha'kelim. K'dimyon neshama ha'nechess es toch evare ha'guf u'mislabesh es toch evare ha'adam u'mechayeh usam u'meihir bohem b'pnimi usam. V'zeh Yikra or Pinimi. Okay. There's a light that is able to come into you and illuminate within. He says here, it's Mi'ira B'soch Hayud Sviros. So, oh gosh, Sviros, what's he talking about? So very simple concept. Again, on a simple level, it's a simple concept. And on the simple level, all it means is that God is too powerful and overpowering to express himself into the world. If God would express himself in his full sense into the world, so it would be like, you know, the sun, like visiting earth, and it is blinding everybody, you know, as a mashal. So therefore, when Hashem wants to interact with the world, he does it through a system that we'll call spheros. But it just means channels or pipes that he's able to express his influence, a flow into the world without overpowering the system. Okay? It's like a funnel. If I would pour the whole huge bucket at one time, it would ruin everything. But if I have a funnel, that makes it come out slowly and very into a small stream, so then that huge same amount of water is able to eventually come into the world. So think of the spheros, for whatever it means for now, as a way that Hashem is able to put His influence into the world. So the Or, which gives life and enlightens into the spheros, which are called the Kalim, they're the vessels that can hold the light. Because you need, right? If you don't, you can have all the water in the world, but if you don't have a cup, there's nothing you can do with it. It's just going to spill all over the place. So it's the vessel that can hold the light. Hanikra Kalim, Eneshbo Bechina Mislabeshes Pesocha Kalim. The light is able to actually come down and be in the Kalim. Just like the soul is able to come into a person's body, and it can give life to the body. That's called Or Pnimi. Omnam Orze Mimuat Lioso Yachalis Tzamtzeim Ulisat Lislabesh Pesachim. But you realize, and I want to follow along in the text here. You have a source sheet? You can look on with you over there. It's important that you see the words. This light, though, is lessened because it needs to constrict in order to be fit into the kalim. And that's one type of light. V'yesh b'china beis, there's another form of light. And that's Or Gadol Mimeno. That's a much greater light. Asher ein koach b'kalim l'sovlo. And the vessels can't contain that light because it's too powerful. U'lahagbilo, you can't be, you know, you can't confine it. Toch p'nimuyosam, into the kalim. V'nishar b'b'chinas Or Makif. And therefore, it's light that hovers above. Mibachutz. Umeir lehem biyosa Or Makif aleihem, and it's a light from above that hovers over them. It surrounds them. Lakif means to surround. Vigam inyan zehu ba'adam atachton, kemosha kasadu b'mekom obezus Hashem. Ki ein lo shum Or shebechol olamos kulam shein ba obez bechinos elu. And man has this as well. Man has spirituality, godliness, elokus that's able to go into his body. That's your neshama, your soul. And then there's light, there's elokus that's too great, too powerful, it can't be revealed physically. And therefore it doesn't actually enter your body, it's makif, it's outside. And everything has Or Pnim Katan, the Or Makif Gadol. And these are the Kabbalistic terms that are used for the concepts that we've been discussing until now. There's the Etzem, there's the Root, there's the Shoresh, that's the Or Makif, that can't come down into the world. It's too powerful. That's the light behind the panes of glass. And then there's the Or Pnimi. That's the one that's able to actually penetrate into our world without overpowering our world. Other terms that are used are Mimale and Sovev. There's the Koach that's able to, there's the Or that's able to fill the world. And there's the Or that is Sovev, surrounds the world. We find this with Hashem as well. Shechina is a term that we use for God's presence in this world. That's Shechina. We actually say this duality in Kedusha. We say Kadosh, 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 which means beyond and beyond and beyond, you know, past each pain. God is Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, and Tzvakos means like in His in His Palmalia, Shalmala, His legions, and His, in His, behind the Pargod, not the Pargod, but Hashem's Pargod. Kadosh, 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 Hashem Tzvakos, and yet at the same time, Melocho Haaretz Kivodo. What's Kivodo? What's Kivodo? So some guys who have heard me before may remember that I quoted you a Balaam Or in the very beginning of Shas. The Balaam Or says in the beginning of Shas that a man's soul is called his Kavod. Why is it called his Kavod? Because Kavod and Shechina mean the representation of God in this world. That's why your soul is called Kavod. Because it's the part of Elokus that's able to come into you. Kvod Shamayim. To bring Kvod Shamayim into the world means to bring God's presence into the world. And Moloch Laretz Kivodo, and that's what we call Shechina. Shechina is the Kedusha of God that's able to be Shochein. It's able to rest in this world. It's not the part of God that's beyond. That we call Ein Sof. That's the part that's infinite and it's beyond the world. And Hashem, we relate to Hashem in these two ways. We relate to Him as, on the one hand, as something that's beyond, and at the same time, something that's here. And you're wondering, how can you have those two things? Isn't that a stira? But no, it's exactly the point we've been making about everything in creation. That something can create, can exist there, like the light source, and can exist here, and yet it represents itself differently. There it's very, very bright. Here it's dulled. So Hashem can, on the one hand, be Shochein in our world, and at the same time be beyond our world. Because when He is manifest in our world, it's just a dulled version of the true source. So that's Or Makif and Or Pnimi. That's the Sovev and the Mamala. That's the Kavod and the Shechina, as opposed to the pure Elokus. Sefer HaTanya, so he speaks about similar concepts. Let's just read through it quickly here. Ein peirush sovev umakif milmala bebchinas makom. When we say things are sovev or they're makif out there, it doesn't really mean up there, bebchinas makom, chas v'shalom. It doesn't mean like it's above, like in space, and like a spaceship can get there. Kilo, man, it says about man that there's an neshama that's in you, and there's an or makif above you. Now the or makif above you doesn't mean like you have a halo over your head, even though that's why they make that halo in images. Halo doesn't really mean that it's above you, and that's what he's saying right here. Kilo shayach klal b'chinas makom b'ruchnias. There's no such place, thing as space. There's no spatial reality to ruchnias. Ela ratzalomer sovivu makif milmala l'inyin b'chinas gilui hashpa. What it means that it's above means that it's beyond gilui. It can't be revealed. Because anything which can be revealed is called clothing. Because clothing is how you reveal yourself to the world. Right? You don't walk around without clothing on. Because the part of you that's underneath your clothing is supposed to be hidden from the world. Because they are worn and they are mesigim and they give concept perception to the hashpos that they receive. As opposed to the flow or the koach from Hashem that can't be revealed. It's hidden. And the world can't really grasp it. So that's not kumislabeshes. That's above, that's beyond, that's hovering.
And therefore, since our worlds are constricted,
the true or can't be revealed in them. Rak ma'at mizer, only a little bit. Ta'ara mu'etes, a small illumination. Mitzumtzemes ma'od, very constricted. Ma'od ma'od. V'hi rak kedei la'achiyosam. Be'b'chinas gevul v'tachlis. Aval ikar or belit simtzum. Kolkach, nikra makif, sovev. But the true light, that's called the makif and the sovev. The parts of our world where the kedusha can enter, where the light can enter, that's what we refer to as teva. That's nature. The natural world that we see, and it contains within it. That's why we say that if you study nature well enough, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Pilchos Yisodei HaTorah, in Perek Beis, Halacha Beis, that if a person studies nature enough, so he can perceive God in nature. Avraham Avinu didn't need a Rebbe to teach him Bava Kama. He was able to perceive all of the or of Hashem through nature. Because nature is a gilui of Elokus. And everything that's above nature, so that's the makif, that's the sovev, that's the part that can't enter our world. And that's the supernatural. That's that which is beyond our perception. Let me give you two more mishalim. These are mishalim that are used a lot in literature, and I want you just to... Hopefully it'll also be mashlim the picture more. I know you're going to walk out and you're going to say, I didn't really say so much. Like I said, one point. But I'm not trying to, you know, dazzle you with like lots of different like cool ideas. I would much rather you get the amkus of one or two ideas than to tell you lots of different things. So I want to give it to you from different perspectives in order so that you can really connect to it. In Kabbalistic literature, there's lots, if you ever like picked up a Hasidic Sefer and then you close it and you realize like I have no idea what's going on in here. So a lot of it, most of the Hasidic Sfarim you learn are Hasidic Sfarim that are not written in Kabbalistic literature. They're written in regular literature. And therefore the concepts, as you see, you can understand the concepts. A lot of it is a language. And part of the reason it's written in a cryptic language is because they're trying to keep the information for the elite and for people who have studied enough and are able to understand it. So I obviously don't have such a great grasp on it either, but a few terms I can share with you. Again, I'm not like I know more and I can only share a little bit with you. Saying the ones that I understand and I can share with you are things like there's always a relationship between Klal Yisrael and Hashem or the world and Hashem. It's an av and an aim. Av and aim. You know what? Let me start with a different one. Machshava and dibur. And we've talked about this one before, and this one you're familiar with. The or hamakif, the light beyond, that's like machshavos. Those are thoughts, and that's why our thoughts are so holy. I mean, they're so elevated. They're not necessarily holy, but they're supposed to be holy because they're so elevated. And then when you want to express your thoughts, so it's done in dibur. And I think I spoke about this last week, how it's hard, you know, you could say I love you, but it doesn't really capture what you really feel. Because your feelings are so much greater than the words. The words are the or pnimi. The machshava is the or makif. What does that mean? I mean that the concepts are much, much greater. Maybe too powerful to actually be expressed in this world. So you use words because words are the feeble attempt to concretize or to give expression, like from the word expression. It's the feeble attempt to give expression to feelings that are so much deeper. Sometimes you might have a very deep feeling for a person, and it's hard for you to express that feeling to them. But whatever words you use, so that is like you to your soul, right? Like if it was the SATs, like your real you to the physical you is like machshava to dibur. Because you, physical you, is just like the feeble attempt to reveal you in this world. But you're really so much more. Slightly, deeper mashal, and it's not 100%, not that it's not nucky, but I'll speak about it, and you'll have to, you know, use your imagination to fill in the, you know, I'm not going to 100% lay it out for you, but you'll hopefully understand what I'm saying. I imagine you will. The mother, the aim hamoledes, the woman who gives birth to the child, who's impregnated, so she is giving a physical expression to the koach of the av. The av contains within him something that he imparts to the woman. That is the koach, and the woman is the vehicle that brings the expression of that koach into the world. And in that sense, so Adam, man, is like the or makif, and the isha is the vehicle for expressing it into the world. And again, without getting too graphic, but the man, when he is imparting that, it is a tremendously powerful experience that affects his whole being, his emotions and physically, because it is a tremendous power surge that needs expression in the world. And that's part of the tremendous depth of a relationship between a husband and a wife. How the man has tremendous koach in him, but he can't translate that into a physical expression. The woman does not have that koach in her, but she's able to take the koach and create from that physical expression. So when man and woman unite, so they actually produce a new creation. And that's a very, very deep thing that they're doing, and that's this process of taking the light and giving it expression into the world. This whole process, even though the way I've been describing it until now, I've been describing it as a reality, meaning like right now, 6:40 in the evening, that's going on right now. There's you here, and then there's the you, again, not up there any more than down there, but there's the you in the deeper realms. But the truth is this whole thing also took place in creation. When Hashem created the world, I've been describing a reality, but there was the process of creation as well. God created a flow into the world. He created an initial world, which in Kabbalistic literature is called the world of Atzilus, which means that it was Ne'etzal. It emanated from him. It came from him. And that was obviously not physical. And then it emanated down until it created our world. You know, the reality that's going on right now was originally a creation process. That Hashem created the highest world. And that emanated down until it was finally revealed, mitgale, in this one. It's like thinking of an idea and then formulating it into words. Or it's like the man impregnating the woman until it creates a child. There's a process there of creation. And in literature, there are four worlds. Again, not that it's so important. I just want you to see like some of the depth of what's going on here. Sometimes we'll like make light of some of these things. But you have to realize that they're very deep concepts. They talk about four different worlds. That's Atzilus, Bria, Yetzira, and Asiya. So again, are there four worlds? Are there really like infinite worlds? I don't know. But Atzilus is supposed to be representative of when it first came out of Hashem, but it was too pure, too powerful, and then it eventually came to our world, which is the world of Asiya, which is the world of action. And we're going to get back to that in a second. It's one of the reasons I want to tell you that. And although it's a creation process, but it's a process that continues. We say that Hashem is mechadish b'tuvo b'chol yom tamid. Hashem is constantly creating. What that means is Hashem is constantly, once He did that creation process, but that flow that He started with creation continues to flow. And it's like the electricity mashal that I gave you. Right? Like, ki'ilu l'havdil, Hashem is like the power plant. And it's sending out electricity into the whole neighborhood. And if the power plant is turned off, so then obviously the lights go out in the whole neighborhood. Even though, obviously, and it's a great mashal, actually, because the power plant is a tremendous power source. If the power plant was plugged right into your, right into your house would explode because it would be such a influx of power. So there needs to be, what are they called? Transformers, thank you. There needs to be transformers, and the transformers are the things, those coils, that break. That's why, like, when you have, like, an appliance, you know, they have, like, the plug, and then they've got, like, the big black box. It's like, why the black box? Why can't they just have the plug go right into... You know, sometimes you have a plug that goes right into the wall, like straight wires, kilu, going right into the wall. And then sometimes you've got that black box. So why do they have that black box? Because I believe that in that black box are coils and other things that allow the electricity to be... like on the bottom, it'll say on your thing, like, how many volts are actually going in. Even though you're getting 220 volts from the... Right? Plugs are 220. Or 110 in the United States, but 220 here. So how come, your 9-volt shaver doesn't fry from the 220 volts? It's because inside there's something that constricts it and only allows 9 volts to come out, or else it would overpower your appliance. Okay? Right? Like if you plug a 110 appliance into Israel, 220, so then it blows it and it burns, because you're giving 220 volts into something that's only built to accept 110 volts. So it's the same idea that Hashem is the power plant and He sends it out into all of the different places. There's tons and tons and tons of volts in power plant. But when it's getting to your shaver, it only needs 9 volts. Okay. So, obviously, if the power source ceases to exist, so then the lights go out, literally, like on everything. And that's the idea as well. Okay. So that was really everything we did last week, but with a little bit of a Tosefes. So what I really want to speak about today are vortexes. What do I mean by vortexes? Meaning the connection points between the upper worlds, the deeper realities, and our own world. What are those vortexes? Even though you, and again we'll use you as the example, even though every being in this world is a more cruder, watered-down version of a deeper reality, every being retains a connection point to that deeper reality. That connection point is the link to the spiritual root and to the greater reality. This point is what sustains you. It's the conduit. It's like an umbilical cord almost. Or it's like the plug that allows the engine to run. And obviously these connection points are not perceptible to the human eye because they have their... They are really from the next, they're the connection point from the higher reality. But they have to have an opening somewhere in our world where the energy, the flow can come from that world into our existence. In man, this connection point is called your nefesh. And it's what links you with your neshama. The nefesh is that point in you that allows you to connect to the true you in a deeper realm. In Hasidic literature, it's called the Nekuda HaPnimis. It's that, that inner spark. Somebody once, and I was talking about this once, wanted to connect this to the AllSpark. Although, I looked up, I Wikipedia'd AllSpark. It's not an exact, perfect connection, although we did mention Transformers before, so I guess it's appropriate for me to mention it. But it's the Nekuda HaPnimis. It's the, anyone who's familiar with the Ma'av HaMalka, there's this talk about how the Ma'av HaMalka feeds the loose bone which is the bone that can't be destroyed in a human body. Again, the loose bone, if you like dissect a person, you don't actually find a bone that's called the loose bone. But the loose bone is this spiritual vortex in a person that feeds a person spiritually. And it's that connection point to the deeper existence. In philosophy, like for instance in the Kuzari, he calls it the Inyan Eloki. It's the divine element within a person. But again, that divine element, that Nekuda Pnimis, if you want to use the Hasidic term, if you want to use the philosophic term, the Inyan Eloki, that's that linkage, that connection point to the greater reality. And that is your source, that is your essence, and it's the vortex that that connects you to the... a vortex, by the way, is like the, you know, the spirally thing. That's where I'm using that term. I imagine you know what it is. But it's the spiral that connects between two different realms, like in, you know, science fiction movies or whatever. It's a vortex. Okay. So, I'm just going to speak very briefly. I'll try to be done in another 15 minutes or so. I want to speak briefly about some of the vortexes that we know about. There's one in a person, and that's the nefesh, that connects you to your soul. There's also a vortex, or there are vortexes also in time. Just like within beings there are vortexes, in time there's a vortex. And the vortex in time, for instance, one of them is Shabbos. Shabbos is a vortex in time, in the realm of time, that connects physical time to its spiritual counterpart. There are vortexes in space, meaning in place. Space. Whenever I say space, I don't mean like outer space. That's outer space. I mean space. Space means like this is space, that's space. Spatial means like makom. So within realm of makom, in the realm of space, there's a vortex to the deeper reality. Meaning time in this world is a diluted version of a greater kalach up there. And the connection to it is Shabbos. And space in this world is a giluy of a deeper reality. And in this world, it's Yerushalayim, it's Harabayis. Those are examples of vortexes in space. Any Mekomos HaKadoshim are vortexes to a deeper reality in terms of space. In Hasidic literature, these three vortexes are referred to as Nefesh, Shana, and Olam. Nefesh, Olam, Shana. Nefesh is being connection, the being vortex. Olam is the physical vortex. And Shana is the time vortex. And now I want to try to get a little bit Lamaisa. And the Lamaisa point is that what is our Ikar Avoda in this world? Our Ikar Avoda in this world, and this is really where Hasidus picked up, meaning everything I've told you about until now has, okay, I don't want to say it's Kabbalah because I'm not trying to like, excite you by quoting something like, esoteric and saying like, I'm teaching you Kabbalah right now. It's not Kabbalah. You know, Ramban writes about this, the Rabbeinu Bechai, it's not like only Arizal that speak about this. But Hasidus picked up at this point. What do I mean by that? The Chiddush of Hasidus, everything I told you right now is not Hasidus. It's in the Gra's writings, it's in Rav Chaim Volozhiner's writing. Nefesh Chaim talks about everything we've been talking about. The Gra's writings speak about everything we've been talking about. These are not like the deep, deep secrets. These are like the very basics that I'm telling you. Hasidic literature said, okay, that's very nice, but said like, but where's my avoda in all of that? How can I connect to this? How can all this very interesting information that all you Lutfox know about, but how can I actually like live my life based on that? So I'm going to tell you a little bit about what they say, but the truth is it's not really the Hasidim. They don't really have a monopoly on this because the Talmidei Agra wrote the same way. It's just that the Hasidim brought it to the masses. And the Rebbe, instead of giving shir on Shor, Bor, and Maveh, so he gave shir on these elements. In Litvish circles, they gave the same exact shiurim, except that they were private. Like, they were private shiurim. You had to be accepted, and you weren't allowed to just come into the shir. You weren't able, you had to be initiated. You had to, know who you were. It was much more protected. As opposed to in Hasidus, where it was spoken about in a much more public sense. So let's just talk for a little bit about what avoda is. And man's avoda in this world is to try to connect to these connection points. meaning not to live life only as the physical, crude giluy, but rather to realize that there's a deeper reality and to actually strive to connect to that deeper reality. A person, very classic, what I'm about to say, a person who spends his whole life eating steak and watching YouTube videos all day, so such a person is really just enjoying the crude giluy of who he is. And he is ignoring the vortex that's within him that allows him to connect to the more spiritual. And man's tafkid is to locate these connection points, to develop them, in order so that he can reveal them more. Because Hashem gave us the ability to not be stuck in our crude giluy, but rather to connect through those connection points and bring a greater flow of light into the world. Meaning the light is too strong and will overpower the world. But if there are the screens and we have the ability to slowly remove one screen after another, it's like acclimating to light. If you come into a room and get with the light, so it's blinding. But if slowly turn up the light a little bit more, turn up the light a little bit more, and that is Klal Yisrael's avoda in the world, both on a national level, but also on an individual level. To slowly remove those screens, those panes of glass, and allow a greater flow of light into the world. And that's why we were created. Let me show you just a few lines. These are going to be quick. The Sfas Emes, Ki Yarchiv Hashem, when Hashem expands, you are gvulot. So the Sfas Emes sees in this a double meaning. Not just when he actually allows us to have more land in Eretz Yisrael, but when Eretz Yisrael is allowed to become bigger. What does that mean? It means the vortex for spatial Kedusha is able to increase. Meaning Eretz Yisrael right now is the vortex for Kedusha, but when Hashem allows Eretz Yisrael to expand, that doesn't only mean that we conquer Jordan and Egypt, but rather when we're able to expand, you know, when you have light coming in through a hole, if you're able to make that hole bigger, so obviously more light is able to come in. So says the Sfas Emes, "Hu ruach hakedusha sheyesh benefesh adam." Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu nekuda kedusha. Hashem gave you a spot, v'yesh lo gavul, and right now it's limited. Ach al yedei avodas ha'adam yochol laharchivo be'ezer Hashem. With Hashem's help, you're able to expand that spot. Next Sfas Emes, "Hispashtas hanekuda b'chol ha'maisim." Man has the ability to widen the nekuda, ulahamshich ga asiya gashis achar kedusha, and to actually infuse into the physical the kedusha. Nimshal rochev adavar hu ikar avoda tachtonim, and that's our ikar avoda down here in this world, is to expand that. One more, Parshas Kedoshim, Kadosh Baruch Hu bara olamo al zeh hamechavein. With this in mind, lahamshich meulamos elyonim. That we should draw down from the Olamos Elyonim into nature and into the Bria. V'chein yaseh adam, and this is what you should do. V'al yedei zeh yizdabek b'chiyus Hashem. And through this you will actually, the more of those screens you remove, the more you're able to connect to the source, sheganzu b'maisa bereishis, that Hashem was gonez into maisa bereishis. V'zeu b'ch, this is like a line that you would never know what it meant if we didn't have shir today. What is it? The Sfas Emes says, you can connect to Kedusha. V'zeu b'chinas Eretz Yisrael. And that's what Eretz Yisrael means. Everyone goes, pfft. Okay, but what did the Sfas Emes mean by that? Because he said that is what Eretz Yisrael is about. Eretz Yisrael is about connecting and expanding the flow. And that's why Hashem created the world. He created the world for us to be able to do that, to draw that light into the world. And as that Or Makif is drawn down into the world, so it slowly overcomes the physical and replaces the physical with a greater spiritual essence. One more Sfas Emes. The Gekuta HaKadusha Tzmunabo Va'yedeha Milchama, and through the battle Misgala U'mispashet Koach HaNeshama B'chol Eivarim, your Neshama is slowly able to overcome all of your limbs through increasing that point. So if a person taps into the vortex of the Nefesh, he draws a greater divine flow into his body. If a person connects to the vortex of Shana, like Shabbos or Yontif, he's able to draw greater Kedusha into time. And that's why we make reference all the time on Shabbos and Yontif to the Kedusha of Shabbos. Because Shabbos is not just a holy day. It's a day that actually draws more Kedusha into the world. And if a person taps into the vortex of Olam, Eretz Yisrael, so he's drawing more Kedusha into physical space. And it's not just, you know, I'll read to you a very cryptic Ramban, but I'll explain to you the Ramban. The Ramban says in Devarim, Eretz Asher Hashem Lukecha Doresh Osa. It's the world, it's the land that Hashem is always Doresh. So what does that mean, that Hashem looks out after Eretz Yisrael? Doesn't Hashem look out after the whole world? What do you mean he only looks out for Eretz Yisrael? Halo kol artzosu doresh. Hashem is doresh all the worlds. Shenamar, he quotes pasuk in Iyov, lahamtiel eretz lo ish. Okay, I guess somehow that pasuk proves what he just said. Kaviyochol, eino doresh ela osa. But our pasuk here is telling us that Hashem only doresh Eretz Yisrael. What's pshat? Al yidei osa drisha shedoresh osa, doresh kol haratzos. Hashem is only doresh Eretz Yisrael. But through that, he's doresh the rest of the worlds. V'yesh posod amok, says the Ramban. There's a very deep secret here. Ki ha'aretz hazos nidreshes bakol v'hi hakol. This land is nidreshes bakol v'hi hakol. What does that mean? It's nidreshes by all and it is all. V'chol ha'aretzos misparnesos mimena be'emes. And all other lands are misparnes from it. So without getting into this expression of kol, we'll have to talk about that another time maybe. The Ramban has a very big inyan about what kol means. Kol, by the way, is gematria 50, because 50 is the shar nun. That's on Shavuos, we count up to day 50. 50 is one number beyond 49. 49 is 7 times 7. It's maxing out of nature. 7 times 7. 7 days of creation. 7 times 7, maxed out. Creation is 49. 50 is the next level. That's the shar nun. Other Torah for other time. That's why Shavuos, that's why Torah is nun, because it's the thing that takes us beyond nature. So what he tells us here is that all other world lands get their parnasa from Eretz Yisrael. What does that mean? It means that Eretz Yisrael is the vortex for Kedusha. And the Kedusha enters the world through Eretz Yisrael, and from there it spreads to the rest of the world. And that's the idea that Shabbos is Mekor HaBracha. Because Shabbos is the vortex in time. And Shabbos is where Kedusha is brought down into the world, and then it's mispashet to all the other days. Shabbos is the thing that imbues the rest of the days of the week with Kedusha. I'll read to you a wild Sefer Yosha Divrei Emes. It happens to be one of my favorite svarim, Sefer Yosha Divrei Emes. Klal ha'ole, sheyom ha'shabbos yom kadosh. Shemeir u'mizgal b'hirus mikadosh. It's the day that emits Kedusha. Ki zeh sod priksas sukkah shalom. We say in davening, I hope from now on you'll have this kavanah when you daven. We say Friday night, Ufros aleinu sukkah shlomecha. What does it mean that Hashem should spread out onto us His sukkah of shalom? I know whenever the kids in my in-laws' family are fighting in the sukkah, so my father-in-law always says, sukkah shalom, you know, it's supposed to be a sukkah of shalom, no fighting in the sukkah. What does it mean to be poreis sukkah shalom? So says the Sefer Yosher Divrei Emes, a very deep Sefer. Ki sukkah ratzlomer yiska. Sukkah is the Lashon of yiska. What's yiska? Sarah's name was Yiska. Why? What does Rashi say? Because she was socha beruach hakodesh. What does socha mean? To see. Yiska means see. Ki sukkah ratzlomer yiska. Shu lashon sfiya. To be able to see, to perceive. Shu inyan habihiris hamizgala. Because it's what gives greater light. You know, by the way, the way your eye works is that in order for you to have proper vision, your eye has to be taking in light in the proper way. Light is what gives perception. That sukkah is a lashon of seeing. It gives perception. Taka, and again, not for right now, but that might be one of the yesodos of sukkahs. That by leaving your house and leaving the gashmius of your house, living in the sukkah gives you a clearer perception of what's real and what's fake. Dafka, by leaving the comfort of your house and sitting in the sukkah, it gives you sukkah. It gives you perception. V'enei kol alav yitzpu, and all eyes are set on it. V'shalom, and what's shalom? So sukkah means greater perception of reality. And what's shalom? Shalom is when opposites unite. That's what shalom is all about. Shalom is when two things come together. Osa shalom bimrama, if Hashem is able to unite opposites in heaven. Right? Heaven, Shamayim is what? Sham, Eish and Mayim. Shamayim is Eish and Mayim. Shamayim is the only place where fire and water can coexist, because that's what Hashem is able to do. He's Osa Shalom Bimromov. He's able to unite opposites. So, and that's what Shalom is. Kizeu Shlemus v'Shalom Hakol Echad. Shalom means for things to become one.
Just like there's this world and there's that world, the uniting of those worlds is Shalom. Hashem's name is Shalom. He's able to unite opposites. And that's why we say Shabbat Shalom. Because Shabbos is about Shalom. It's about uniting.
The Inyan Shenikra Sukkah Hu Shu Kimo Schach. Now he adds an even a deeper idea. So Sukkah Shalom means the ability to see unity. Shabbos is Sukkah Shalom because it's the ability to see the unity of the worlds. And now he adds an extra kinach. And that's why we call Schach, because the Schach separates between us and heaven, but the Schach has holes through it. Umisnotzeitz or Hashemesh bo derech hanekavim. It's not Schach if it's completely solid. You have to be able to see through. Kimochein ha-behira shal Hashem mizgal l'kol echad echad l'fi arko. So too, a person is able to see the reality. If you have eyes of seichel, you'll realize that Iker Yom HaShabbos is lizdabek v'Hashem b'tfilah b'Torah. To use Torah and tefillah, which are the tools, we'll talk about that another week, those are the tools that we use to connect to the upper worlds. Lizeh kore ha-zohar, and that's why the Zohar refers to Shabbos, ha-yoma, as yoma d'nishmasin. It's the day of the soul. What does it mean it's the day of the soul? Oh, Neshama Yisera. What does Neshama Yisera mean? That means you can eat as much as you want and you don't gain weight, right? That's what everyone wants to say. And Rashi is based on Rashi and Beitza. What's the Neshama Yisera? But it's exactly the Yisod we've been talking about. Ratzel Omar, Shemeir Shoresh HaNeshamos, El HaNeshamos Shebegufim. It's a day of the soul. It's a day where the Pesach is more open, where more flow is able to come in. And that's why people are Nechsofim, my love. They yearn for Shabbos. V'zen nikra tosefes neshama yisera. And that's what neshama yisera means. It means that your soul has a greater entry point into the world on Shabbos. V'chol zen nirgash b'tfilah. The person davens can feel it on Shabbos.
Right, I'm not going to read the last source, last one or two sources. We have one or two more sources, but I'll just tell it to you outside. Shabbos, therefore, when we connect to the time, it also has an impact on us. That's what the B'nai Yisachar says here, that when a person on Shabbos, a person himself is elevated. Because he starts to unite the different vortexes. He takes the vortex of time and he connects it with the vortex of being. And this whole process that we've been talking about, of bringing more light into the world, and I'll end with this, this is the process of Geula. Geula, Galus, is darkness. And it's not Stam that it's darkness. It's darkness because the light is very, very dim. That's the darkness of Galus. Right, that's like Hanukkah, we try to bring more light into the world. Galus is darkness, and Geula is increasing the light. Geula is when the barriers have been completely broken down, and the true light of Hashem is able to fully be expressed in the world. We'll end with this one line from the Sfas Emes: Ki perish Geula, mashi yodim shigam b'soch kol hester v'galus. Even in all of the hester and the galus, the mechitzos yesh gam kein nekuda genuza mimenu yisbarach v'al yedei zeh ba Geula. To be a person of Geula. To live a life of Geula is to recognize that I have in me that connection point, that Nekuda Pnimis, and that through that connection point, I can increase the flow. We should all have tremendous Kavanah this Shabbos when we daven, and we say, not only that Shabbos is the Makor HaBracha, but we say, Karva El Nafshi Geula. That we daven to Hashem, that we should experience this Shabbos and every Shabbos, a greater Geula, a greater opening of the vortex, a greater connection to the Nekuda Pnimus, to the Inyan Eloki, that the Ora Makif should be able to be into a greater flow into the Ora Pnimi, that the Sovev should be able to connect to the Mimale, there should be a greater influx of Shechina, of Kavo, the Teva should be overpowered with that which is Me'ala Teva, and that we should be able ourselves to elevate ourselves and connect to this higher reality.